You are listening to an online message from Limbrookwood Baptist Church. For more messages, upcoming events and weekly activities, please visit www.lwbc.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter by searching Limbrookwood BC. Thank you for tuning in.
So it's going to be a brief message this morning because you've heard what it's all about. And I just want to challenge us just with a couple of thoughts, things that I think have been happening in and around the community, in around other churches. I get to speak with other church leaders and just hear things that are going on. And you start to hear rumors and grumblings and things that are going on. And I was quite struck, really, with looking at the message, the passage we just read, looking at the crowd and just asking that question or thinking of that thing for a moment. How did they go from Hosanna to crucify a week later? How do they go from Hosanna to crucify a week later? And I think it's quite interesting as we read through that. I don't know if you picked it up, but it's like in the fulfillment of Scripture. If you go back to Matthew 21 and verse 4, this took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophets. And I thought it's quite interesting as well when they said, well, who is this person that is arriving? And it says in verse 11, the crowds knew who Jesus was. The crowds knew who he was. His fame had already spread. And I say, the main point I want us just to think about this morning is how do we go from, with the crowd mentality, from Hosanna to crucify? And actually just thinking about what happens in that moment. What happened in that crowd? Because that crowd is made up of lots of individuals. And it's quite difficult sometimes to stand up as an individual. We were looking at the verse last week, and we were looking about Matthew 24, verse 37. It says, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. You know, there was a family of believers back in that day. It was Noah and his family. The rest of the world had rejected God. And yet Noah and his family stood out from the crowd. They stood out in a big way. They were building a big boat and spoke of this stuff called rain, which they might not have seen before. What was going on? Are we prepared to stand up as individuals? Because we live in a time, I believe, where it's really difficult. The crowd says one thing, and if we say what the scripture's saying, we were praying about this morning, we stand out. And is a time coming where we will need our Bibles, we will need to remember what the scriptures say, because it's no longer about what I think anymore, it's about us saying, well, actually, look, it is written. It is written. And one of the things I thought was quite interesting, particularly in today's world, is how do we disagree well? Now, I don't know if you've had any conversations with people recently or whether there's conversations at work or wherever it is in the office with family, but actually disagreeing well. You think that and I think this, and we can have a really good conversation about it. And at the end of it, we're still friends, or we can still at least look each other in the eye. I was quite struck. I've been watching a few videos online, and these different things pop up. You might want to see this video as well. And there was a Sanhedrin chap that was chatting away on there. They're doing a lot of stuff with the Third Temple and stuff at the moment. But this guy's a Christian, and he's going around, and he's taking questions from around the world and saying, okay, from a Jewish perspective, what do you reckon to this? And there's various questions that they go through. And the Jewish Sanhedrin, he's there saying, well, look, this is what I believe. This is what the law says. And I couldn't believe in Jesus being the Son of God because the law does not allow me to do that. And the Christian's saying, yeah, but look at Jesus. Isn't he wonderful? And actually, there is an opposing view that's going on here. But what I saw on the face of this Sanhedrin chap, it was really interesting. He was saying, I love your heart. I love it that you've got a heart that wants to tell me about Jesus. And he said, and maybe one day I might call myself a Christian. He said, but right now, this is where I am. But I love the fact that you are for me. I love the fact that we could have a conversation. And I'm secure in what I believe, and you're secure in what you believe. And we had a conversation about that. Now, whether you want to go into right or wrong, that's what we talked about wisdom before. But actually, they're having a conversation, and they're in a sense disagreeing well or having a healthy debate. But actually, what I've witnessed, and probably you have as well over the last certainly 6 months, but maybe a bit longer, we're not very good at disagreeing well or having a different opinion and able to still love one another in a friendly way and actually even have a healthy debate. I can throw, obviously, Brexit out there. You knew that was coming, some of you, didn't you? But what, I mean, it's so divisive. And you go on to any of the social media stuff and you listen to people that it's not a face-to-face conversation anymore. It's I can throw out whatever I want. It becomes really heated. And it's not like, well, I think this and you think that. Well, that's quite interesting. Tell me why you think that. And it's a healthy debate. It actually becomes confrontational. Same, I'm going to throw another one out there. But gender. Gender, it's a big hot topic at the moment. And part of this, I think, why people get so wrapped up in it is because it is their identity. My identity is I'm a Remainer. My identity is I'm a Leaver. My identity is I feel like a 20-year-old, so I'm going to be a 20-year-old. I feel like a woman, I'm going to be a woman. I feel like a man. My identity, whatever I speak my identity over me, this is what I will become. And then if you attack my identity, well, look out you. But actually, if my identity is in Christ, then something is completely different. And I can say to you, well, that's lovely what you think. But look, as we said this morning, it is written. And that's why I think the Bible is so important to us this morning. That's why I encourage you, bring your Bibles with you. Don't leave them behind. Have it there and open it up so that God can act. We might speak to you in a different way. I might be reading a certain bit, but God just speaks to us. It's his living words. Rather than healthy discussion, we end up with fighting and anger. And actually, you'll certainly find with a lot of debates that are around at the moment, they will use fear to manipulate us from having those conversations. Now, I don't know if anybody here has been caught in that, but sometimes maybe you're exercising wisdom, but you go, do you know what? I just know if I open my mouth in this crowd, they're going to turn against me. And fear comes in and stops us from speaking the truth. And actually, it comes back down to, and just to reiterate one of the points in one of the messages, as I said before, is the difference between being judgmental and having good judgment. Do you remember that message? Because if we are judgmental in the things that we do, we set ourselves up to judge somebody. I look at your situation, I look at your side of the argument, and I judge you. But actually, if I exercise good judgment, say, well, that's interesting what you think. I think this. I can remember that word, that phrase that we nicked. I'm not emotionally mature enough to deal with what you're saying right now, so I'm not going to engage in that. But bless you, if that's where you're at, it's not for me. And this is about me saying I can't deal with that rather than judging you and saying you shouldn't do that. Because as a Christian, we want God's best for everybody, don't we? We want God's best, but God's best, we're hated if we say, well, the path is narrow. The path is narrow. Matthew 7, if you want to look back, we were in a lot of Matthew today. Matthew 7, verse 13 to 14. You know, enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it. Enter by the narrow gate. Being a Christian is difficult, isn't it? Dead easy. Somebody said to me this week, take heart, Darren. The one you're following was rejected and despised and ultimately crucified. He says, and you're following him. He says, what do you expect out of life? One of the guardrails I spoke about was one of the first one was about friendships. And I don't know if you remember, I said, for the majority of us, our greatest regret was probably with somebody that we knew and we knew well. Possibly even a close friend. And actually, we need to be careful with our friendships and our relationships because we can actually let ourselves in. We take the phrase, don't we? I let my guard down. Which is quite interesting when we talk about guardrails. I let my guard down. I let that person come in. And we might share something with somebody and actually they spill it out to the crowd. I certainly know this is what it's like for young people at school. You share something you think in confidence with a friend and they go blab, blab, blab to all your friends, don't they? And you go, why did I ever tell them that? You know, it's really unkind. So we've got to be careful in the things that we say and we do. And actually that proverb, just to come back to it, Proverbs 13 and verse 20. I paraphrase it, but look, hang out with the wise and you become wise. I think the Bible says walk with the wise. Those that you are journeying with, if they're wise, you will become wise. But hang around with foolish people. And just to define foolish again, those people that are living for today, doesn't matter what the consequence is for tomorrow, I've got this now, let's just go for it. Hang out with them and you don't just become foolish too, you will suffer, the Bible says, harm. You know, walk with the wise, you become wise. But you hang around with those that are just living for now, you will suffer harm. And we need to be careful with our friendships and our relationships, and particularly at this time. Why? Because the crowd was saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Isn't he wonderful? Come on, everybody join in. Coats, leaves. Woo, look, he's coming. This is Jesus. We all know about him. And then a week later, it's, whoa, crucify, whoa. We were going to sing a song in between, but we got communion, so I'm conscious of time this morning. But the song, you know, says, I hear my voice call out among the scoffers. That really hits my heart when I sing that. You know, would I have been there in the crowd and going, oh, yeah, look, all my mates are doing it. Come on, yeah, crucify. Let's have a good one. We haven't had a good crucifixion for a while. You know, what was that all about? Would I be there in the crowd? Be careful who you hang around with. Peter, well, I read the whole bit about Peter in there. Not me, Lord. Not me. Even if I have to die. Not me. And it was so simple, wasn't it? Oh, look, servant girl. Comes out, oh, you. I love the fact that he had an accent. I don't know what the accent would be. You know, I'm not even going to try an accent now. That'll be... But he had an accent, recognized him. No, not me. Even called down curses. How dare? No, not never. Not me. And there was Peter denying Christ. And why am I saying all of this morning? I think I'm saying all of this morning because I want us to be ready. I want you to ask yourself a genuine question. When we finish the repurpose message, one of the things I said on there was a time is coming when we need to be sure of our faith. Are you in? Are you in the kingdom of God? Or are we just observers? Are we in the kingdom of God? Have we come so far but fallen short of actually entering in? If you were to stick, I don't know where you are now, Matthew 7, if you were to read on a bit further, Matthew 7, 21 to 23. Says these verses, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who are practicing lawlessness. Now, who's Jesus speaking to? He's speaking to non-believers here. But those that have probably just tagged along, I was talking to somebody the other night and they were saying how Christians can do some good things, like the night shelter. It's a fabulous thing. And other people come along and they get caught up in the goodness. And then they might say, oh, they do this Jesus thing. Okay, yeah, I'll pray this stuff and do it. Oh, yeah, I'm probably one of these Christians then, aren't I? I say it, I look like it, I've got the coat on, aren't I doing well? And actually, I'm seeing some stuff happening. But actually, have they really bowed the knee and followed? Actually, is Jesus one of these holy vending machines that you say, well, if I pray it in Jesus' name, I get what I want, right? Yeah, Jesus, he fulfills all of my expectations. I like this Jesus. Come on, Jesus. This is what I want. In your name I pray. And Jesus is going to say, hang on a minute. You cried out to me, Lord, Lord, but I never knew you. You never bowed the knee. And because we've got a baptism service coming up next time, I'm just going to dig a few people on baptism this morning. If you're not baptized, I'll ask you the question again, who are you following? Is Jesus just a good idea to you? You love his work. I love your work, Jesus. I think that's good. But actually following you wholeheartedly, baptism thing, no thank you. I'm going to encourage you this week. Pray for Danielle, who's going to get baptized next week. And can you remember his name, Nikki? I'll dig his name out. That's awful. I've forgotten his name. It's just escaped me now. There's another man that's going through the waters of baptism as well. But pray for Danielle. And if you've not been baptized, I'm going to challenge you again. Baptism is the good stuff. This is the good bit. This is the privilege of following Jesus. I believe something spiritual happens in that moment of baptism. Yes, it's explaining what's gone on in my heart already, but something happens. Jesus demonstrated, he says, come follow me. And if you're saying, actually, do you know what? Nah, thanks, Jesus. I've come this far, but I'm a bit embarrassed about the rest. What happens when oppression comes? What happens when the hard times come? Because this is really the crux of the message this morning. We've just seen what Peter did, and he denied Christ. Well, we know what happened. They had a bit of breakfast later and sorted it out. But hard times are coming. And I really want us to say, are you? I asked the other week about the Russian gunman that came in through the door and said, actually, you know, if you're not prepared to die for your faith, off your trog. And half the congregation got up and left. No, I am not prepared for this. And then when they cleared them out, they laid their guns down and said, yeah, okay, now we got rid of all of the goats. Now we can sit down and we have a proper Bible study. We've got a time that's coming where you're going to be challenged. Are you going to stand up for your faith? And I know for some here, and you might have your reasons, but you're saying, I'm not prepared to go through the waters of baptism even. What about when the fire comes? Are you going to say no to that too? It's a real challenge this morning. If you'd not said yes to Jesus, and this is why your Bibles are good, look at Romans 10:9. It's a good one to highlight. Romans 10:9. It says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, or Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. I think we can make some of this Christianity stuff really complicated. Look, if you believe Jesus is Lord, and you confess with your mouth Jesus Lord, you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Is that not the most simple message in the world? What a wonderful Savior we had, because he did all the difficult stuff. You look at the flyer that says about Good Friday. I wouldn't want to be hanging on a tree. And he did that for me. And that's what I deserve. I know that's what I deserve. And he did that for me. That is the good news. We can say, well, it's a nice idea, but I'm not sure if it's for me. Well, be honest, because you don't want to be lukewarm. If you believe that, what does the Bible say? It says, get up and get baptized. It speaks about being filled with Holy Spirit. It speaks about being born again into a kingdom where you live for others first. It's an others first kingdom. That's what the righteousness of God is about. And that's why we've got our motto verse this year. I just think it's so important. Let justice roll on like a river and righteousness like a never failing stream. I want that to be something that can sweep through this community and people genuinely get it and they genuinely live for others first. That is what the kingdom of God is like. And it's not difficult. I think for some unbelievers, what they're doing right now is massively complicated. And the hoops that they put in front of themselves that they think they've got to jump through in order to be right with God. He can't just give it to me, can he? This thing called grace. I've got to earn it somehow. What can I do? What can I do? If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. Get up and come follow him. Come follow Jesus. For those that say you believe this morning, my challenge is, are you wholeheartedly ready for the coming days? If you said yes to Jesus, do you know what's coming? We're going to unpick a little bit of this. And actually, we're not going to do it naked. And that's what the next series is going to be about. We're going to have a look for a number of weeks just at the armor of God again. I don't remember. Do you remember your dad dressing up in the armor? Did you remember him still at the front? He was a good soldier, wasn't he? But what is that about? And I visited a church the other weekend, and listening to some of those in the congregation afterwards, they just say, my day just overwhelms me. And I said, well, have you put the armor of God on? And it's like, no, didn't really. I went out into the day and, you know, all this stuff just got on top of me. So I think it's a really good challenge for us. As believers, are you ready for what's coming? When we put to the test, like Peter, will you deny him or are you going to follow him? Whatever it takes. You know, and I'm praying for you guys because this is difficult. And I know a lot of us are wrestling with stuff and there are things that seem to come in from all sides. But are we ready? And are we going to stand firm on that day?
You are listening to an online message from Limbrook Wood Baptist Church. For more messages, upcoming events and weekly activities, please visit www.lwbc.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter by searching Limbrook Wood BC. Thank you for tuning in.